Radio Miraya now brings you a special panel discussion in commemoration of World AIDS Day. Stay tuned for expert advice and life-saving information on HIV and AIDS. Radio Miraya, the voice of peace.
Hello and welcome to this special program on World AIDS Day. On December 1st every year, we commemorate World AIDS Day. The theme for this year is Know Your Status. In the studio, we have experts from the Ministry of Health and from the World Health Organization. And they're here to tell us more on this World AIDS Day. My name is Regina Gorle.
Saturday, 1st December is World AIDS Day. Tune in to Radio Miraya for a special program on HIV and AIDS. Find out from experts about early detection and how to live positive with HIV. Tune in at 6 p.m. on Saturday with a repeat at 7 a.m. on Sunday.
In today's program, my guests and I will be looking at HIV and AIDS, self-testing, and new treatment strategies. We will also look at viral hepatitis at the Public Health Emergency Operation Center in Juba. You are most welcome, my guest in the studio. Please introduce yourselves.
Thank you very much, Regina, for the opportunity of being here today. My name's Dr. Kandiang Modi, and I work with the Ministry of Health as the HIV program specialist in the HIV program. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here. And my name is Dr. Mutebi Moses Nganda, medical officer in WHO.
Thank you so much for coming into our studio to talk about the World AIDS Day. So, getting directly to our discussion, this year's theme talk about Know Your Status. What is this all about, and what are the key messages you do have on this World AIDS Day? So, Dr. Kandiang, maybe you can start us off.
Okay, thank you, Regina. And as we know, the 1st of December, we are commemorating the 30th commemoration of the World AIDS Day, which started in 1988 after some years of the pandemic of HIV. As you rightly put it, the theme for this year is Know Your HIV Status or Know Your Status. Mm. This means that we are actually looking into each and every one of us who has never thought of doing an HIV test to really take this opportunity and to use this day and to be able to get tested to know his or her own HIV status. The reason being, you know, we have a big number of people who are known to be living with HIV among us, in our communities, in our populations, but yet they have not done the test so that they can know that they are living with the virus of HIV. Mm. And this means we cannot be able to really get them on treatment, because we currently believe in testing somebody, and when that person becomes positive for HIV, we put that person on treatment. Not being able to put them on treatment means that a big number of more people will get infected with the virus, because those who do not know that they are living with the virus may not do what we call as positive living, or may not be able to prevent themselves infecting new people. So there will be a kind of a circle of infection and reinfection, or new people getting infected, and therefore it's important that we promote the theme of this year, where we are telling our people to know their HIV status.
Mm. Dr. Mutebi, if you could also add something to this theme of Know Your HIV and AIDS Status.
Yes, thank you so much. Know Your Status, it's not only about testing, actually. Mm. It is, as we know, it's not just enough to test, despite the fact that globally, about 75% of the people who are estimated to be living with HIV actually know their status. And here in South Sudan, we know only about 70% of the, I mean, it's only 30% of the people who are estimated to be living with HIV who actually know their status. So
it's, so many are still hiding.
So many actually need to know their status. But it's not only about testing, but actually testing to be linked to treatment and prevention services. I think this is quite important for people to know. And then also, know your status should also go just beyond HIV services. HIV people are also infected with hepatitis. So it's important those two go together because they are closely, also the route of transmission for some of them is the same. And then also we know that putting you on treatment is not enough. It's important to know your status, but also to know your viral load, and also to know that people living with HIV who are on long-term treatment also can get non-communicable diseases. Actually, one in three people living with HIV on long-term treatments also have non-communicable diseases. So it is a gate that opens us to other health conditions as well.
Mm. So, Dr. Mutebi, what is the overall burden of HIV and AIDS in the region and globally?
Yeah, at the moment, it's estimated that about 37 million, to be precise, 36.9 million people are living with HIV globally, and about 70% of these are actually within Africa. About 21.1 are actually living, are actually on treatment among these people. So we've made really some good progress, and we've seen that out of this, very few people are actually getting infected each year. Maybe 1.8 million were infected at the end of 2017. And about 0.9 million actually died out of HIV in that's globally.
Hmm.
But also these numbers of newly infected and those that are dying out of HIV-related illnesses is also reducing in South Sudan as well. But my colleague will speak about that.
Dr. Kandian, if you could also tell us, as much as, okay, the disease people have known, they go to test, but are there still new infections?
Yeah, thank you, Regina, and thanks to my colleague, Dr. Moses, for the clarification. Currently in South Sudan, as of the end of last year, we have reduced the number of new HIV infections by 2,000. And that means, as the year before, we were having about 16,000 people being infected yearly. By the end of last year, we were having about 14,000 people being infected yearly.
Mm-hmm.
The deaths also seem to have reduced by about the same figure of 2,000 also by the end of last year as compared to the year before, that's 2016. So I think there has been some work done by the fact that we put all people on treatment. And that is a very important step because we try to treat people early rather than waiting until late stages like it used to have been. Thanks for people who do researches and giving us recommendations on best practices. So currently we are even treating anybody who tested today positive for HIV. We have to put that person on treatment without waiting any longer like it used to be, where some people would be just staying on a drug like ceftriaxone for years and years, and then the HIV virus would continue destroying their immunity, which can lead to other opportunistic infections like the TB, which is one of the main killer among people living with HIV.
How come people live with HIV, and you said with the treatments, there are no infections?
What we're giving is just to treat, like to to mitigate the complications of being infected by HIV. We know that when one is not on treatment, by time, the immunity of the body is reduced completely, and that will give other infections that would have not been really a problem for us become a problem for us. That's why we call those kind of infections opportunistic infections, because they were looking for an opportunity to become a disease in our bodies. And if we put people on treatment, we reduce the viral load, and that's what Dr. Moses was saying, that it's not all about testing, but at the end of the day, we want to see these people who are tested positive, they are put on treatment, they should have what we call viral suppression. That is going to help in making them have complete normal life, mm-hmm. as if they were not infected. They would be active, they would be
do
productive,
their daily activities.
They would do their daily activities mm. as anybody else. And that is the benefit of the treatment in that case.
Mm.
Yeah.
You can either answer this or Dr. Mutebi. I want mm-hmm. to know about the HIV and AIDS issues when we talk about South Sudan. How serious is it?
Okay, yeah. I think regarding the seriousness of the HIV in South Sudan, that is, I think, what we call as the prevalence. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the prevalence in South Sudan, according to estimates, because most of the time we use is, I mean, we use what we call as spectrum estimates by, I mean, being done or being achieved by information from our data that we collect from services. And it is currently estimated to be at 2.4%. And this means if we take our population, basing on these results, contributing to it, movement of population, some people have gone out of country for refugees and all this, we are talking of about 180,000 people living with HIV within South Sudan.
This estimate is since when?
This is as of the end of last year.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
You want to add something, Dr. Mutebi?
Yes, you know, South Sudan is just part of the global village anyway. Mm. Yeah, HIV is still with us, it's still an issue. Mm. And despite the fact that there's been a good progress and in the treatments and also reducing the deaths and the new infections, but we note that still, because it's part of a regional global issue, also it will remain also an issue here in South Sudan. The the reduction is not where we want it to be. Actually, we want it to be reduced to a level that it's no longer a public health problem.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And therefore, as long as we don't reach the numbers to test, 90% of the people estimated to be living with HIV should actually have should have access to testing and should know their status. Mm-hmm. And 90% of these ones actually should be on treatment, and 90% of these should be virologically suppressed. Mm-hmm. So this is where we want really to get to. Until we get there, we can't really rest.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you explained the reduction, the treatment, people are responding. What let's look about what are the gaps and the challenges in HIV prevention then.
Yeah, I can start off and my colleague can compliment. Actually, we still have the kind of services we have for prevention are standard, like they are, and they exist globally. Testing is an entry point, and it's key as an entry point to prevention services to know one's status. Imparting knowledge is one of the prevention services that we offer, such that people are aware of HIV and aware of their status. Mm. And then it's also one of the prevention services that are offered within South Sudan here and globally is what we call voluntary male medical circumcision, VMMC. Also condom, as the female and male condom. And then also we have antiretroviral drugs for prevention, like what we call PrEP, that are given before. I mean for prevention services, but also treatment as prevention. It also these are all the strategies that we use for prevention. But going back to your question, is are there challenges? Are there gaps in prevention? Yes, they are, because we have not reached the optimal level on all these prevention services that we have. We know that we need to get to the most, most at-risk populations, people who are more likely to be infected with the virus, to provide the necessary information. We need to actually test as much as possible to reach all the people estimated to be actually living with HIV, but also as a prevention measure, such that whoever is not actually infected can access prevention services. But just as treatment is, also the gaps in prevention services also are with are related to the systems of health, because the cost of services, the human resources factor, also these are challenges that we.
How about awareness? Is it part of the challenges? Are people aware about this HIV much? Do you feel they are aware?
Yeah, on a large extent. I'll leave again my colleague to compliment in, on this.
Okay, thank you for that, Regina. And then, in fact, you raise a very important issue. We have really a big gap in terms of awareness, and as you might know, most of the contributing factor is the fact that the country has gone through a lot of time where movement and displacement happen to be the order of the day, and therefore the Ministry of Health and partners, including WHO, couldn't make enough to really reach to majority of the populations and provide awareness. Now, when we talk of people who might be aware of HIV, even in towns, you find that some people are living like they are not in the town where we expect information to be available at most times. So I think with the current change in the state of affairs, we hope that as the new year comes, we will be able to do as much as we can to provide information to our populations wherever they are. And thank God for Radio Miraya that is, I think, covering almost the whole country at the moment. And we're using this platform actually to pass information for people so that they can be able to understand that HIV is real and it's not a story where we have to think of it as a disease in the towns. Because these are some of the myths that sometimes when you go to some areas around the country, they believe that HIV is a disease of people living in the towns, or it's a disease of people who are considered to be promiscuous or maybe sex workers, this kind of things. Yet it is a disease that infects anybody. Not all people who get infected with HIV are infected because they were considered to be misbehaving, as we might use that word. It's an infection which can happen to you anytime, any moment. So what is important is to be aware that there is this kind of infection and to know how to prevent it. That's the most important thing. And if one gets it, the next thing is to get treatment. It's not to begin looking for how did I get this,
and then you stress yourself
and you stress yourself up, and then you begin to think of maybe somebody gave me, I want to give it to other people. No, this is not the story. So we need to really fight this issue of stigma and discrimination against HIV and against people living with HIV.
So before I get to your colleague, as Minister of Health, how do you make sure that the masses obtained correct information on HIV and AIDS?
Yes, that's a very good question. And we have, of course, at the moment, through partners and other implementing partners, we have developed some information, education materials, or communication materials, IEC materials. Weeks, I think, in this World AIDS Day commemoration, we will be trying to distribute to the masses and those who will be able to get it to read. The only thing is that they are currently in English, and we look forward to having people who would be willing to support translating those materials to other languages, so that maybe different readers can be reached.
Dr. Moses, how do we ensure to protect our young children, adolescents and youths?
Globally, we have policies and guidelines in that target prevention in these groups of people. We know that these form the largest population, actually. At the midpoint, the median of so many of our countries is about 18. So if you go to children, adolescents, young people, youth, it goes to over 70%. So these are very important population to us. And then how do we ensure that they are protected? For children, the Minister of Health has put services for prevention of mother-to-child transmission, such that we ensure that there is no transmission, vertical transmission of the virus to our children, such that babies are born free of HIV.
Even if the parents are.
Even if the parents are
living
with the virus. So the target for the Ministry of Health is to ensure that all mothers who are pregnant, all mothers who are pregnant are actually screened from HIV, and if they are found positive, they are put on medicines, antiretroviral medicines, to ensure that the babies that are born free of HIV. Then adolescents, there's a package of adolescent-friendly services to make sure that adolescents are also get this knowledge and also can be free from HIV.
Yeah, we are going for a short musical break, but before that, you people explain about treatment, but let me ask you, Dr. Kandiang.
Yes.
At times, the hospitals run out of antiretroviral drugs in the States and even in the capital. So how does the ministry ensure there are no drug running out from the hospital so that those persons living with the HIV and AIDS can continue their treatment regularly?
That's a very good question. And, you know, the fact is that the Ministry of Health is actually tasked with the health sector response in terms of the HIV and other infectious diseases. And what we have to do is to make sure drugs are available in the country. And I think what you have said might have happened at times because of the fact that some facilities currently are very far from the town, like from Juba, and reaching them with the commodities sometimes is challenging because of the geographical and maybe sometimes insecurity issues, these kind of things. So, but we are happy that as we are moving towards the implementation of the signed agreement, we do hope that roads will be opened and then movements will be very free and easy, so that what might have happened in the previous year, like stocking out of drugs, should be actually prevented. We also work together with partners that are working in those places. Sometimes we give them the responsibilities of transporting these drugs to those centers or to those sites, so that our people living with HIV do not go without their drugs even for a day. And I think this is currently working on well.
Thank you, my guest, for explaining. And we go for a musical break. And when we come back, then we look at Alia Bak, the ministry has launched a guideline to treat individuals. How far has that gone? They are going to tell us more. Stay tuned. I'm Regina Gonle.
Yeah, PNB Stars, Freedom Voice, HIV AIDS, Maraca, Stanley Kono.
Welcome back. You are tuned to the special program on World AIDS Day. And in the studio, I have my guest, Tikandiang Modi, HIV and AIDS Program Specialist, Minister of Health. And I have Moses Mutebi, Medical Officer with the WHO. Back to my guest. Last year, the Minister of Health launched guidelines to treat all infected individuals. What does it take to treat all? And how is that different from before?
Yeah, I think the idea of launching the guideline to treat all came in as part of adopting the recommendations from WHO guidelines, where through research and practices that shows that the earlier you treat the people living with HIV, the better the outcomes. So this means that all people who are tested positive for HIV have to be put on treatment. Now there was no more requirement to start treatment. You know, the difference of this guideline is like before it, there was a kind of a criteria to show that somebody is eligible for starting treatment or not. Now, with these new treatment guidelines for treat all, we don't have any criteria. Maybe the only criteria is that that person is tested positive for HIV and is diagnosed to have the HIV virus in him or her body.
And this is for those who have turned up. How about somebody who is hiding? yes. somewhere out there.
Yeah, of course, those who are hiding or those who do not know their status is going to be a bit a challenge, and that is why we are talking of let us know our HIV status. That is exactly what the theme of this year's World AIDS Day commemoration tells us. Know your status so that, as we said earlier, you may get treatment at the end of the day. So I think that is what we are encouraging people to do. And really, as we know, the treatment is working. There are many, many examples which we could give if we have the time of people
who have testified for more years.
Who have testified for living up to 30 years now. And in fact, researchers have found out that if somebody is on treatment and using the treatment with good adherence, that person can even live for more than 50 years.
Sure.
And that means even a child who is born today with HIV can live to the fullest life that child might have on earth. So there is no reason why we have to hide instead of knowing our status and get treatment and move on with life as you take your medications.
So you want to say somebody who's living with the HIV and AIDS, if she or he can control these other diseases, so these are the other diseases are the one actually killing her, not the virus.
Yes, in fact, you are very correct. HIV does not kill. What kills is the opportunistic infections. And these infections are those infections that come to us when our immunity has been reduced by the HIV. Okay, so that is now where we go to the stage of what we call as AIDS. But before reaching that stage of AIDS, we can live with the virus in us, provided we are taking our treatment as required daily, without missing, without stopping. We can continue to live healthy lives, and nobody will ever think or see and suspect you to be having HIV unless you are the one to tell them.
Are there people who live with the virus that cannot multiply to be AIDS?
Yes, yes. As we said, the earlier we begin the treatment, the better the outcome, meaning these persons who are put on treatment early will not reach the stage of AIDS unless they stopped taking the medication and later on they can develop the stage of AIDS. In fact, anybody who is having HIV and is on treatment cannot die from AIDS or HIV-related deaths. These persons can die from any other cause, but not AIDS-related deaths.
Dr. Mutebi, any addition?
Yes, actually, the
guidelines and how it is progressing.
Yes, the on the outside globally, the treat all, what we call the treat all. Some people call it the test and treat policy guidelines. Actually, they came in place in 2015, and they became public in 2016. And we, as a country in South Sudan here, adapted them and also launched in 2017.
You think it's very important? And this guide, yeah.
Yeah, this is very important because it enabled a number of people to access treatments because there are no other conditions of eligibility to access treatment. And in just 1 year, in just a few months, we had over 10,000 new people that had access treatment in South Sudan alone, leave alone globally. Globally, before this treatment policy, we had less than 15 million people by 2015. But now we are at 21.7. What has made this advance or progress in the treatment access is actually the treat all guidelines.
And that's, so before and that's treat Kandian all, how says, do people come up to be treated and others are not?
Before the treat all policy, before, in the very beginning, there was a caveat of what we call a CD4, to do a CD4 count. It's an immunological test whereby if you are below 200, below 200, that's when you would be eligible.
For the treatment.
And then it came to 250. It went to 350. Then it went to 500.
Yeah.
And now it became available for everybody. later in 2015, and that's what we call the treat all. So, you know, there was evidence that put us to that situation, but also resources became more valuable. And then there are treatment benefits, definitely, of starting early. Outcomes are better. There are other challenges, like for diagnostics, to have the diagnostics available in order to monitor our patients, and then also to in order to make diagnosis available. And then there is a challenge of also access, physical access, decentralization. Not these services are not widely available at the moment. As I talk, they have to be decentralized to every point in the country. Like the Minister of Health has come up with the Boma Health Initiative to make sure that actually people at that level can be able to offer the service for testing, and also providing the testing services themselves, but also providing the follow-up to treatments and distributing drugs and things like that.
You need to add something?
I think also the other one is, as we know, currently the distribution of the national budget to all the ministries, you might know that it's not maybe considering, for example, the Minister of Health might not be getting exactly what the Abuja Declaration might have been talking about. And the reason might be because of priorities that have been available. And this can be considered as a challenge in terms of scaling up, in terms of sustaining, because currently we are mainly getting the treatment and the testing commodities from mainly the Global Fund and the PEPA support. So considering these donors might not continue to do so in the near future weeks, we fear that it can be a big challenge to maintain our clients on their treatment.
And we are almost getting to the end of our program, but I have this one question. Any of you can take it. What are the new upcoming HIV and testing prevention?
Okay, let me start maybe. And I want to say thank you for the question. Testing is part of prevention, because if we know our status either as positive, we get to get treatment and live positively. I mean, to be able to prevent you distributing the virus to other people. That is the meaning of positive living. You know you have the HIV virus in you, you are taking treatment, you make sure you prevent people from getting it from you. That is positive living. If I tested myself and I have shown to be negative, then I look into how can I continue maintaining myself with the negative status. So this is all going to happen only as we are able to test and we know those status. Now, as we have said, many, many approaches in terms of HIV testing have been in play in the country, including what we used to know as voluntary counseling and testing, or VCT. And it went on into the providers-initiated testing and counseling, which is an initiative where a health worker talks to a person who comes to the hospital about HIV testing, and if that person accepts, is tested and knows their status. Currently, we are also talking of testing those children that are in the families of those people living with HIV. That's what we call as index testing. And more than that, this year, the Director General for World Health Organization recognized the importance of self-testing as a way of reaching those vulnerable people who might have not been reached by health workers. And I think this one is one of the things we can consider as a new approach. Yes, it may not be very new, because it has been already in play in the last 3 years, and some countries have actually implemented it. However, for us in the country, as South Sudan, we are trying to look into the guidance that has been provided by WHO and trying to look into how can we adapt this guidance to implement in our country.
And so, one thing I'm impressed is that pregnant mothers or antenatal, now the ministry in all the health centers have taken it as an initiative to test those mothers, right?
Yes.
Is that going on all over, or it is in the capital?
No, it happens in very many facilities in the country. I think, of course, PMT City Services is currently available in more than 100 facilities in the country. WICs are providing PMT City Services. But there are some still facilities that are providing only ANC because of the scale-up process. We haven't yet reached them. But the most important thing is you brought a very important question. I need to pass this message to our listeners that if you are having a mother who is pregnant and she hasn't gone to attend to a ANC, it's important to advise that mother to go to an ANC program. In the ANC,
in full NS,
okay, antenatal care program, okay, yeah. That is the care of a pregnant woman until she delivers. In that process, she will get the advice of getting tested for HIV. And it is very important that we recommend every pregnant woman to be tested for HIV as a way of reaching the PMT City target. Because if she is not tested for, we will not know whether she has HIV or
even
not.
Prevent the infant in
her. Yes, yes. Mm. Yeah. So as we know that she is having, we give her treatment. That treatment is the one that will make the baby born free from HIV infection. And I'm happy to say this, that I know of couples that have children who are born free of HIV because the mother is taking, what? Is taking the antiretroviral therapy or drug. So the ARVs are very effective. We should not fear. Even if one has the virus, it is important to get this treatment so as to keep you healthy.
And before we conclude, I wanted to bring this point where the mother's going to antenatal care.
Mm-hmm.
At times they are the one tested, and maybe she's found positive.
Yes.
When she gets home, the husband starts saying, "You are the one who brought this." So it becomes an issue.
Yeah.
I don't know how to handle this because however much maybe this man knows he is the one even he brought, but still the issue, that violent in the family, become that case.
You are very correct. And that is one of the problems of stigma and discrimination. It happens. And I have seen many of that kind. Those days, even though that sometimes you advise people to be delivered by cesarean section and you advise the child not to breastfeed, you know, those days, I have seen many. And, you know, the mother was like, "If you know, don't tell my husband." Of course, it's not my responsibility as a clinician or healthcare to disclose. But it's always important for people to mutually disclose. Between husband and wife, it's good to know your status, okay? Because you can then become treatment supporters for each other. Even if the man is negative or the woman is negative, the man is positive. Mm. It shouldn't. You know, there was a story, which I like sharing sometimes, when two people were in friendship for a number of 7 years, and the lady was in school by then. When she graduated, she asked the man, "Now, we are 7 years into this friendship. Why are we not getting married?" And the man was like, "You know, I don't think we are getting married completely." And the lady was surprised. Mm. Why? Why wasted all these 7 years in friendship and now you are telling me we are not getting married?
Mm.
The man was like, "Look, I want to be frank to you. Over these 7 years we have been friends, but I have come to know that I am living with HIV. And so I don't feel like marrying you because I don't want you to get infected and I don't want to be blamed for infecting you."
Mm.
And the lady was like, "What's that? What are you talking about?" So this became a very serious issue. It brought the families of
together.
These two people together. And it was actually the lady who was pushing for that family's meeting.
Mm.
In that meeting, she asked the two families, that, "Guys, I brought you together because of this man who has been a friend to me for 7 years. I plan to marry him. And now he's telling me that he's not marrying me because of his HIV positive status.
Mm.
I want to declare to you here that either I marry this man or," and she pulled out a knife, "I die here in front of you." What would have been your advice? The families were shocked and the parents of the girl said, no, if you believe you want to marry this man, you are welcome. We don't want to see you dying now in front of us.
We want to see you live.
Yes. And the fact is that this is a real story.
And it's not a fake
one. These people got married, and currently they have 4 children. None of these children is infected by HIV. The wife is a supporter to her husband. She goes to Juba Teaching Hospital to get the treatment for her husband when the husband can't make it to the facility. She was one day joking with the care provider in Juba Teaching Hospital that now she even feels like she gets infected, and then she also takes the medicine along with her husband.
That's the support. So the man cannot fear to take the drug.
Exactly. Yeah. So HIV infection or HIV positive status should not be a reason for us as a husband and wife to be in trouble or to fight or to divorce each other. Because it's like any disease that you can get. And nobody should blame you as to how you get that disease. Actually, you don't need to ask of how did you get it. But the most important thing is, how can I get treatment?
And let me get your last remarks from each of you. Maybe you can start with Dr. Kandia.
Yes, thank you again. And I'm very happy for this time you have given us in commemoration of this World AIDS Day. And my message is that HIV is real. You may be the next person infected if you don't prevent it. So let us take the lead in preventing it. Let us know our status so that we can be able together to bring new infections to zero and eradicate HIV by 2030.
Thank you so much, Dr. Kandia. Dr. Moses?
Yeah, thank you so much. Just to take to end the clock just a little bit, just to add on to what Dr. Kandiang said about what is new. Actually, the ministry with our supporters, WHO and partners, we are refining the strategies by optimizing the testing strategies, and we are coming up with new innovations. And then also the treatment treatment innovations are also in place. New treatments are coming in place, and we are introducing new drug treatments. And that's actually the core of our discussions, even today in our public lectures, the testing modalities, but also the new treatment therapies that are available that are better, more tolerated,
less side effects. The new
We are introducing them, but we have to introduce them. We have to introduce them really systematically, such that they are available to everybody, and at such a time that it doesn't produce a waste. I mean, to this country. But these newer medicines are much better. They are much superior, and they have lesser side effects, more potent, and they have a higher viral load suppression. Coming to your question just making the concluding remarks. On the 30th anniversary of the World AIDS Day, we actually, it's just a reminder that we should not be complacent. HIV is here with us, and even though we have made significant progress, but we still need to look for the other 70% to know their status in South Sudan. We need to actually put more people on treatment. We just have only few, less than maybe 80% of those that are estimated to need the treatment actually are reachable at the moment. We need also to ensure that those on treatments are also virologically suppressed. I mean, the virus is suppressed. And we need to see that HIV is part of the wider health programs, and such that we can ensure health for all by the year 2030. That is my message. And as WHO, we shall continue working alongside the Ministry of Health, supporting the Ministry of Health to ensure better and healthy lives for the people of South Sudan. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Mutebi, and thank you, Dr. Kandia.
Thank you, Regina.
And listener, we have come to the end of this special program on World AIDS Day. we were looking at HIV and AIDS, self-testing, and new treatment strategies. We also look at the viral hepatitis at the Public Health Emergency Operations Center in Juba. And in the studio, I had Dr. Moses Mutebi. He is the medical officer with WHO. And we also have Dr. Kandiang Modi from Ministry of Health. And he is the HIV and AIDS Program Specialist, Minister of Health. And thank you so much for coming into our studio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And
thank
to our listener, thank you for following our program. I do appreciate that you have benefited from this program. And I'm Regina Gordon, and nice weekend.
Saturday, 1st December, is World AIDS Day. Tune in to Radio Miraya for a special program on HIV and AIDS. Find out from experts about early detection and how to live positive with HIV. Tune in at 6 p.m. on Saturday with a repeat at 7 a.m. on Sunday. Radio Miraya, your voice of peace.